Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Meet Us Quickly with Your Mercy is a new dance performance staged by Flyaway Productions and the Museum of the African Diaspora. It combines first-person recordings from Rahsaan Thomas with music and aerial choreography on the side of the Counterpulse building in San Francisco, with the goal of conveying the solidarity of Black and Jewish activism for racial justice and prison abolition. It's rooted in a four-year collaboration between artistic director Joe Kreider and lead writer Thomas, who co-hosts and co-produces the podcast Ear Hustle and who is currently incarcerated in San Quentin. The show will run through October 17th, charge no admission fee. Kreider and Thomas join us to discuss the show. Welcome to the show, Rahsaan. Thanks for making this work. I know the phone system inside is tough.
We've got another 10 minutes, but I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And Joe Kreider, why don't we start with you, and you can talk a little bit about the collaboration and how this project came to be.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Probably 4 years ago, I put out a call for a Black change maker who was interested and willing to work cross-culturally with a Jewish artist. And through a winding process that neither Rahsaan and I can quite recall, Rahsaan responded to me. And so we've been in dialogue and in action and in work for the last 4 years. The project has encompassed not only the public art that's going up tonight, but an art show that Rahsaan organized from San Quentin of artists who work from their cells in San Quentin, as well as a panel discussion about Black-Jewish relationship and the ways that it is honorable and complicated and also essential for social change.
Yeah. Rahsaan, what did you bring to the process? I know you wrote a bunch of different things. Can you tell us a little bit about the components of what you brought in here?
Yes, I was able, first of all, to help Joe refine our ideas. I think when we first dialogued, she thought of it as like Jewish people helping Black people escape from incarceration.
This call and or telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
I see it more as like a partnership and a problem that affects everybody. Also, I was able to recruit about a dozen artists to like create artwork for them shows. And I wrote a piece called Press Yourself, which looks under the dance.
Joe, where are you staging this? I mean, I know it's going to be at Counterpulse, but can you tell us a little bit about, you know, where Counterpulse is in San Francisco and if that's significant in the work?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that's important about this trilogy of dances that I am making over 6 years is proximity to prison systems. So we chose the Counterpulse building because it's literally across the street from the city's halfway house where people go when they're coming out of both federal and state prisons. So for the second half of the show, the audience stands literally in front of 111 Taylor, which is a halfway house that is run by the GEO Group. And so bringing audiences to prison systems and the buildings where they exist is actually quite important to me. And to, you know, really call attention to the totality of this issue and how prison systems are infused in multiple directions in the ways that we live and they can be invisible unless you have a person in your life who is incarcerated and you're very familiar. Yeah.
Joe, did you have that in your life? Is that how you came to this work?
Yeah, my partner was incarcerated for several years and is now home. And I would say statistically, 1 in 4 women in the United States and 1 in 2 Black women have an incarcerated loved one in their families. So it's actually quite common, but you know, designated to silence. And one of the things I try to do with my work is to give people space to come out of their own silences.
Yeah. You know, what can people expect to see when they pull up to Counterpulse and the show's going on?
Well, first of all, pulling up to Counterpulse means arriving in the Tenderloin, and the Tenderloin has become more distressed than I've ever seen it. And I've been making dances there for 25 years. So the distress of poverty and forgottenness of people and a lot of Black people is very, you know, apparent, and that's what you'll see. That said, what we do is try to bring beauty and meaning through art, so they will be, audiences will be wowed, they will be surprised, they will hopefully be pulled in by the meaning and depth of Julia's music and by Rassan's story being told, illustrated by dancer Clarissa Diaz, where she sits inside of a cage, much like Rassan does right now. So the ways that Clarissa has represented his story and some of the elements from Pushed and Shoved is just really stunningly beautiful. So the audience will see that.
Yeah. We're talking about the new dance performance, Meet Us Quickly With Your Mercy, staged by Flyaway Productions and the Museum of the African Diaspora. We're joined by Joe Kreider, who is a San Francisco-based choreographer and the artistic director of the show. Rassan Thomas, lead writer and collaborator, is also here. Rassan, we're going to let you go just because the line is very rough. And we have that interview we did yesterday. So we're going to play that just so people can really hear your voice a little bit better. But thank you for making the time to call in this morning, too.
Thank you for having me. You guys have a good day.
We want to hear from you, too, before we play this interview that we did with Rassan. Do you have an experience with incarceration or with Black and Jewish solidarity? Call us and share that with us. And how would you describe the role of art in this particular kind of activism opposing mass incarceration? Give us a call now, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or you can share your stories with us on email. We're forum@kqed.org. So we're now going to play this interview that I did just yesterday with Rassan in advance of possibly this kind of line problem happening. So we'll listen in now.
Well, first of all, I'm a huge fan of Cirque du Soleil, and so when I found out Joe choreographs people dancing in the air, I wanted to be in. I mean, I've never been involved with people dancing in the air. I wish I could be there to see it. So that just takes it to a whole nother level, period.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Even beyond normal dancing. And just felt like it is. It's a very rare opportunity to work with somebody so incredible. Who has so much backing in the arts world, and to take me along on that ride with her is just awesome.
How'd you do it? I mean, like, would she send you, like, sketches of how it might look, and then you send her a letter back, or was it purely about sort of the ideas that would go into the dance performance?
Yeah. So it kind of started out with she had a vision, pretty much. And then talking to me, like, the vision got refined. Like, I remember when we first started talking, she saw it as Jewish people helping Black people. And I felt like, nah, it's not, we don't need charity. Like, we need to work together, because if not, it's bad for both of us, right? And if we do work together, it's awesome for both of us. And at the end of the day, it's about being partners and not enablers. And so she told me about the dance, what she wanted to do, and I wrote a story. It inspired her to make a dance to that story. It's called Push and Shove. And so, at one point, she was going to bring one of the dancers to meet me. They got cleared and everything, but it just never worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a collaborative process. So basically, it started with her vision and then me kind of, like, helping her refine that vision. And I mean, like, once my, like, she really was receptive to my input.
Yeah. And what are the sort of ideas that you feel like this piece is trying to get across?
The value of incarcerated people, the humanity of incarcerated people, like why we should care about mass incarceration, why it needs to stop, how much talent we're throwing away, how draconian laws just make things worse in the long run, and just like how the answer to stopping crime is to understand that it happens for really human reasons, as bad as it is. And when we recognize that and then address those really human reasons, those really social injustice reasons as well, we stop crime in a really positive way where we get productive citizens instead of using violence and more. And I call it incarceration violence because it's handcuffs and kidnapping and court procedures that all really feel really violent, whether you get beat with the baton or not. And so that's what I hope people do. I hope people see the art on that wall and see the talent that's been thrown away, see the value of incarcerated people. I hope people respect the talent of incarcerated artists, because a lot of times their artwork
doesn't get as valued as like an NFT that went for $69 million, right?
Yeah, right.
It gets treated like it's worth a couple hundred bucks when I think it's some of these guys are really incredible and paint on the level that should be appreciated a lot more. And I just think that it's important for people to know that there's human beings in it. Make a long story short.
And what do you think people should take away from sort of Black Jewish solidarity within this piece?
Yeah, I think that we have to remember. I mean, you hear a lot of bickering between Blacks and Jews at times. I grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, which is right next door to Crown Heights. And so I'm aware of the issue that happened there. I'm aware of Palestine right now. But I also remember this reading about the Civil Rights Movement and how Jewish people were on the front lines, like going down into Alabama and Mississippi and these places that were really racist and really violent towards people who cared about Black people or people or Jewish people, period. And the Jewish people that died in that car that were kidnapped with James, Michael, and the other guy. And so I just wanted to remember that. And remember that white supremacy, evil, has a way of dividing people and getting them to go against each other when we're not the source of each other's problems, right? When we take these problems out of each other because of the proximity and the people pulling the strings are so far away we can't see them. I just want us to unite and understand that we accomplished so much together, and if we unite again or get more united because we haven't all divided. But if we focus on that union, we can accomplish so much more.
Yeah.
The threat is to both of us.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
The same people that would run up in a synagogue and kill people is the same people that would run up in a mosque and kill people.
So maybe last question, what does it mean to work to end mass incarceration from inside a prison?
Oh, man, it's biased because I want to get out too. But it also lets me know that I'm in San Quentin. I'm in a unique prison where they let hundreds and thousands, I think it was 3,000 volunteers all together come into this prison at different times and help incarcerated people facilitate programs. We have coding here and San Quentin News and Ear Hustle and yoga and just all this amazing stuff, a college program, Mount Tapalias College. And being part of society from in prison, being treated like a human being is what my empathy and stopped me from being a criminal and stopped thinking like a criminal. Now my loyalty is not to the homies who abandoned me. My loyalty is to society. And I love society, right? That's what worked for me. And it also worked for so many. I can name 100 people that went home from this prison that are not just doing good out there. They're doing awesome, right? And so I know this works. And it showed me that we can do better than handcuffs and batons, right? It showed me there's a better way to deal with this stuff. And I also, I think that it's crazy that I have more opportunities at San Quentin than I had growing up in Brownsville. I think that if we get these opportunities to kids in the first place, there is no incarceration. There is no dead person. And I'm so sorry for the harm I caused society. And one of the things that bothers me the most is I can't go back in time to stop it or change it. But I'm trying to change it in the future. That's the one thing I really feel like I can do.
Yeah.
And so stopping mass incarceration to me means more than just getting people out of jail. It means preparing people for success while they're in prison. So when they come out, they never come back. They go home and make sure their kids never come in the first place. You know what I mean? We spread this culture of success, this culture of healing, this culture of finding your talent, this culture of opportunities and investment. And we make it all over this country, man. The way we made those ghettos, we unmake them.
That was the voice of Rahsaan Thomas. I interviewed him yesterday. People who are on the inside, it's incredibly difficult to actually collaborate and to be able to get recordings and things out because of how restricted their access is to communications, how expensive it is. It's actually one of those things about the prison system that's so frustrating. Joe Kreider, you all obviously had to battle through this as you were working on this new dance performance, Meet Us Quickly With Your Mercy. That kind of communication difficulty, did it actually add something or teach you something about the prison experience?
Well, it made me a more punctual letter writer, that's for sure, because letter writing was our primary mode of communications. The phone calls happened for sure, but weren't completely reliable. So, yeah, I mean, I think the best thing Rahsaan and I did was read books together, and the reading of the books and the talking through the ideas in the books in letters, really, we would review the books in our letters. And that really was quintessential. It was important to Rahsaan that we read about the civil rights movement. So we read the book, We Are Not Afraid, which is written by two journalists, Seth Kagan and Philip Dre, and Rahsaan referred to it when you interviewed him. And it's a really dense, detailed book. So we both kind of struggled to get through it, but it was really radical for both of us in really understanding terrorism against Black people and how white supremacy really is, you know, an equal opportunity problem when you're Jewish and when you're Black. And so, the reading of books. We also read Women's Experiences in the Holocaust, and you know, because I'm Jewish, I knew a lot about the Holocaust, but Rahsaan knew a bit less. And this was a book that came out in 2019 and was the first comprehensive detailing of women's resistance in the Holocaust. And a lot of the stories in that book are in the piece, referenced, you know, in kind of artistic and abstract ways. But we learned a lot together. And that was what letter writing allowed us to do. The other thing is that we did manage to have one visit between Julia Eisenberg, who is the composer on the project, and Rahsaan and I. And so we were together in San Quentin for an afternoon. And that was a real blessing because as you know, and audiences may or may not know, Julia died before the project was completed. She died of a long-term illness. So the fact that she and Rahsaan and I actually had a moment of camaraderie and exchange and laughter and tears together is a real highlight that I cherish.
Yeah. You know, Joe, one thing that kind of broke my heart is that this dance performance is taking place on the outside, and you can't actually even get video of it inside to Rahsaan. And I wondered if there was something, some artistic power in having to kind of try to translate this bodily movement of dance into text through letters for Rahsaan, so that you could actually have that kind of artistic collaboration. Can you tell me if that did anything for you?
Well, you know, I've never collaborated with a writer quite like this. And so when a writer works with a choreographer, those are two different languages. Mm-hmm. And so some translation is in order, and I had to develop new muscle for how to take the ideas that he and I would, you know, thought partner and translate them into physical ideas. And I was not alone in that process. I rely heavily on a collaborative relationship with the dancers I work with. And Laura Ellis and Clarissa Diaz, who are both African-American, worked a lot with me on translating Rahsaan's experience into their own bodies. And then on the backside of the building, I worked with Helen Wicks, who's a Jewish dancer, and also Bianca Cabrera, who's a dancer of Mexican descent. And we put her inside a Jewish experience, but also aware that, you know, that the experience of Mexican children at the border was a part of the story. So much was happening while we were creating this piece. So the translation from language to image to motion is a collaboration in my company. And it was quite a boost and quite a gift to have Rahsaan's ideas with us, in company with us, as we were creating.
Thank you, Joe. We've been talking about the new dance performance, Meet Us Quickly With Your Mercy, which will be up at Counterpulse in the Tenderloin. The show runs through October 17th and is free of charge. We've been joined by Joe Kreider, the choreographer and the artistic director of the performance. And earlier we talked with Rahsaan Thomas, lead writer and collaborator on the show, as well as co-host and co-producer of Ear Hustle. We're going to go out to Journey Home, which is from the show, sung and played by Julia Eisenberg and Jeremiah Lockwood. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour of Forum Ahead with host Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.